Hello, welcome to the October edition of Black Book Talk. My name is Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus, and with me today are...
Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman.
And Obi Hill, Let's Read, Walk, and Talk.
And we are featuring two members of the Well-Read Black Girls Book Club, which meets monthly. And we would like our guests to introduce themselves, please.
My name is Wintemi Conte.
Okay, and...
My name is Raynisha, otherwise known as Ray, Cousin Ray,
Ray.
Whichever
what
you
folks
please.
Don't know is you are newly married, so we want that last name because we know you probably going around town going, I'm Mrs.
Maybe Mrs. Not. Owens.
All right.
Raynisha. That's me.
Ray and Wintemi, you are two of like the founding members of the Portland Well-Read Black Girls Book Club. And this is really, we're part of a national chain of these. But could you talk about the beginning, why you chose to be a member?
I was looking for just community of Black women. And I was just looking for my Black folks here in Portland. And I was new here. And I was working at a retail store. I met a young lady who loved books. And she, you know, told me all about PALS and just told me what she loved most about just getting invested into the different books that she loved. None of the books that she loved were books that I liked or even thought about reading. But then it just sparked an idea in my head to find community around books that I would like. So I went to social media as usual. And so I ended up on Twitter. That's where I ended up on PALS. Then I saw that the Well-Read Black Girl Book Club was starting in about a month or two. And then from there, I kind of ran into the founders page. And so from there, I was like, I'm going to that first meeting. I can't miss it. And the rest is history.
How long ago was this? And how long have y'all been operating here in Portland?
It was definitely 2019. Or was it 18?
It was 2018.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I think it was July 2018 was our first meeting. But like Ray, I was looking for a community. I'm born and raised here in Portland. And I wanted to be around more Black women and create a community that I could create stronger bonds with. I was looking for a book club. I had never attended a book club or been a part of one before, but I've always loved books and wanted to have that experience. So one day I was on Facebook, and then I'm also in a group called Black Portland, which is a Facebook group. And I saw Catherine, who is our host and the moderator of Well-Read Black Women's Book Club. She made a post inviting new members to come and join. And the book she had posted was The Bluest Eye. And I had read that book recently. So I was like, okay, I had read this book already, so I could come in and share what I had already read and not having to start a new book, which was nice. So I felt like I could just walk in and have a community already. So that was nice. And I've continued to grow with the group and create new friends, which I really cherish.
So I was wondering, when did you start? And how many meetings do you carry on or conduct within the framework of a year?
Well, we meet every second Thursday of the month. We've been meeting for about 2 years now. When we first started, we met in person at Powell's every second Thursday at 7 o'clock upstairs on the third floor. And then when the pandemic happened, we moved to virtual meetings where we now meet on Zoom.
And I have to say, it's a different kind of fun, but I've actually enjoyed the Zoom meetings too. I don't know that we can have alcohol and PALS, but I have seen people curled up in chairs, on couches, whatever, underneath afghans with wine glasses. But it makes for a very relaxed, yeah, just a very relaxed, fun kind of evening. I mean, I think a lot of us are kind of zoomed out, but I think I'm going to miss that, especially in the winter. So I've enjoyed the fact that it's just easy. It's just an easy club. I mean, if you've read the book, it's great. But Catherine Morgan, who is the coordinator, I mean, she's just so welcoming and inclusive. And she's like, well, if you haven't read the book, come on in and listen. And the conversation always seems to veer from the book to larger issues. So it's just a nice opportunity to exchange ideas about a lot of different things. The books are just the starting point.
I like that you mentioned that, you know, yeah, like you can essentially have read the whole book. You could be on the first chapter. You could be in the middle. You could have not started and still got your copy in your bag. Like, you know, it's nice to be able to come and say, well, I didn't finish, and not necessarily feel bad about it. Not necessarily feel like, you know, you're missing something. We do our best, I think, trying not to share the entire book and every detail about the book, because we do want those people in the room that do have the desire to read it after listening to the conversation around it. We want them to still be able to read it and still feel connected to it, same as we did. So we talk about it, but then we also try to keep a little under wraps.
Well, what's the process of selection? How do you go about choosing the books, or do you have a special committee, or who recommends the book?
I'll take a stab at trying to answer this question, but usually Catherine will give us a list of books with a short synopsis of what, like a short summary of what each book is about. She is also a very avid reader. I am not sure exactly where she pulls the books from, but I do know the Well-Read Black Girls Book Club has like a ongoing list of books that are read throughout the chapters. So I think that's how she finds the books. But after she sends an email to let us know what the books are, we take a vote and we all pick what we want to read.
And sometimes it's good stuff. Everybody's picking the same book. We're all feeling the same vibes when we're voting. And then other times, Catherine has to break the vote, break the tie, and or just choose, because, you know how voting gets. So somebody has to break the tie. But I usually like that she chooses. She tries to go coordinate with the months, of course. Like right now, for Halloween, we're going into something spooky and things of that sort. And for the holidays, we're going to try and, like, I believe, do more of a break standpoint and do a bigger book, and then kind of give a little bit more time for us to spend more time for the holidays and to be able to read a bigger book. But we usually try to keep it, I believe, under 200 pages. I think we nip that in the butt real quick. Like, no, we can't read something with too many pages. We still got a life to live.
Yeah, that's true. Our threads are pretty hilarious most of the time when you see everyone's inputs of what they think of the book or what their thoughts are on the book choices. So it's always fun seeing what the different perspectives are each month.
This month's book is over 300 pages, but very spellbinding.
What do you mean by spellbinding?
Well, we were saying that it has a spooky theme.
Okay.
Did you say the name of the book, Emma?
The book for this month is Mama Day by Gloria Naylor.
Catherine did something different this month. She's not a supernatural book fan. So I did the list because I love these books. And I am delighted that Mama Day was chosen. But this is more of a book for people who know about, who know about the self and the idea, you know, that sometimes people talk about mojos or just haints. You know, if your family has tales about what happens in the swamps, this is more of that kind of story. It's really a sweet family story about these two older sisters. I think they greet each other, sister, this, sister, that. They're in their 80s, and they have a niece that they've raised. And she goes away to the big city, to New York, meets this guy that she loves. So it's a beautiful romance. But it's what happens when they come back. And it's really more of a mystery. It's not, you know, people jumping out. It's not blood and gore. It is really a lovely love story, a lovely family story. And this is a book I've read, good gravy. This will be my fifth or sixth, maybe even more reading. And every time I do, I enjoy it. I kind of cry a little bit. But I like the fact that Catherine was open to doing something very different. And I also like the fact that when we have conversations, if nobody liked the book, then people would just say, nobody liked this book. So I love the fact there's no pressure. You know, you don't have to pretend you like it. You don't have to pretend that you're an English major and you want to discuss all the subtext. You know, I like the fact it's just a group of Black women being real candid about what we're reading, what we feel, what we like, what the day has been like, how it fits in.
Although there are a few people in the group who would like to discuss all those other things too.
I wonder if we're hearing from one of them now. Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that the book club really does open the opportunity for a variety of personalities. We are not the monolith. And I think the book club respects that. And that's probably why it's so popular. Obi, I see you're ready to jump in.
Yeah. Now, do you allow spectators to listen to your discussion group, or how does that work? Are you limited to just the people in the book club? And then how many members do you have?
Absolutely not, OB. We do not allow men to come in and be spectators and listen.
That was one of our ground rules when we started.
Yeah. Yeah, it was important to us to set boundaries and to just, you know, when we do have guests that are non-Black women or don't identify as Black women, then we simply just do politely let them know that this is a space that is safe for Black women to discuss and have commune and fellowship with each other. So, you know, no attitude and no disrespect, you know, no disrespect, as Sister Soulja would say, but it's simply just our space and we would like to keep it that way. It's important to us to have that space. And I think that we are pretty, I think we all pretty much feel the same way.
Oh, other words, shut up and get out.
We are not only well-bred, but well-raised Black women. We would never say that.
Right. Close that door on your way out, baby. Okay. All I got to say.
But you know, we got to get around to some books. Ladies, you know, you got to share some books that you enjoy. So, you know, folks come away from this episode with something to enjoy during the fall cool days ahead. We curl up with our books. Mm. So whichever one of you wants to go first.
I am reading currently a book that we have not read. So I'll start with my book that I have that is not on our list. My book is No Disrespect by Sister Soulja. It is just the way I feel when I read it. I feel connected to her. I feel like I can respond to her words on the page and as if we were in conversation with each other. So in one of the chapters, she just says, you know, she's in parentheses kind of commenting on herself. And she's like, I must have been crazy or I must have been stupid. And I was like, yeah, you must have been, like, you know, but I feel like I can get connected to a book by a Black woman like that. You know, it's different. And I really, really wish if I could do anything, I would change, you know, the fact that I did not indulge in reading as a child. And this book, she just talks about how she was reading as a kid. And that's what created her desire to lead Black people and to tell them about what she was learning about, you know, about where, you know, just Black people come from and just the thought that we should give back to our own communities. The thought that if you know something, you know nothing at all. And what you do know, you should share it with your brother and sister. And it's in so many words exactly how I feel, but I've always felt kind of, well, I don't really know how to get involved, but it's really about whatever it is that you have a gift or a talent, you find a way to love on the next man with that gift or that talent. And so she says a lot of stuff that's just kind of raw, you know, like, that's just Sister Soldier. She's just real raw, and she doesn't try to come politically correct for you. And so I've been feeling really connected to this book lately, and I've been curled up on my couch. I've been curled up in my bed. I've been everything, and just so connected, you know, and I wish I would have had that at a younger age, but I'm glad that I can say I have that now.
Oh, that's what a good book does. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Well, I feel like Ray and I are really connecting today because my book is Coldest Winter Ever by the Sisters Soldier.
Okay, author.
So I feel like we're on the same page.
On a wavelength.
This is what our book club is like most of the time.
Yeah, snap.
But I believe this is her first fiction book. No Disrespect is a nonfiction book about her. And this was a follow-up book. It was written in 1999. It sold over 1 million copies. I read this book the first time when I was in sixth grade. I would say the content at that time probably wasn't appropriate for me to be reading at that age because it's so raw and the story is very complex. But I felt like I connected to it because it was one of those books where I felt like I could relate to Winter, who is the main character. I felt like she's someone that I went to school with, someone that I could relate to. So I have read this book about 4 times. And each time I read the book, I always get something new. The last time I read this book was during quarantine. And I felt a little differently about Winter. I didn't like her as much. I've also grown since I've Ooh, read snap. That, but I appreciate the growth that I've seen in myself of how strongly I connected to her at such a young age. And now reading it as an adult, I'm like, wow, I probably wouldn't be friends with her now. So that book has always been one of my favorites. It's something that I have always recommended to other people. Like all of my friends have read it. It's such a cultural phenomenon that's still being talked about today. There isn't a movie on the book, but in my head, it's like, I know like all the characters I would cast for this book if there ever was one. So that's my favorite book. It means a lot to me. So if you haven't read The Coldest Winter Ever, please do.
No, you really gotta read it if you've never read it, y'all. Like it, and I actually started to think that the main character, you said her name, Winter. It's Winter. It's so similar to your name, Winsome. I was like, and I bet that could have been like a strong thing for you as a youngin.
Yeah, you don't really get to see people named Winter very often.
I have to comment that you two read this basically as children. Mm-hmm. I read it as a fully grown woman. But was the same thing. What surprised me is that it wasn't the formula where the main character has to be lovable, wonderful, and you like her. Because I was like, No. But it was a good enough book that I know I've read the book more than once, and I was recommending it to everybody. I'm glad that her name, the Sister Soldier's name, is still out there. Because, yeah, people need to read her. People need to be aware of that. So I'm just happy that you two mentioned that. Let's see, anything else great that we should know about?
The other book, Sula. Because Sula is a character that I don't really like, but I think she is very interesting. And I've read the book more than one time because it's a great book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel the same. I didn't necessarily like the character Sula, but I did wonder why her experience in college wasn't talked about. I feel like maybe like her education and what she thought college would be like had somewhat tainted her perspective. I thought about that today when I was thinking about this book, about why why her independence in the big city wasn't really fully explained.
I want to make sure before the show ends, which we all do, that you two, our guests, have a chance to share at least one other book, because people hear our recommendations all the time. So they want to
do more. I have two: Magical Negro Poems by Morgan Parker. That was a great poem book to me. A lot of the people, I'm going to say, that day was not feeling my book, not feeling it. But it's just for me, poems don't always make sense from beginning to end to you, the reader. I think poems, you have to take them for what they are. And when one line stands out to you more, right, Patricia, that's reading. Like when one line is speaking to you and you don't put the book down and now you're thinking about something, that's reading. Like, so that's what I loved about Magical Negro. Not necessarily the poems from beginning to end, but just the lines that she wrote. And then An American Marriage by Tay Ara Jones. This one was just everything for me in the book club. This one created so much conversation. We was just talking. I believe we went over this day. It's a marriage of a Black man and a Black woman. And, you know, they just experience something tragic. And I think it's safe to say, no, I won't say, but it's just something tragic happens in their marriage, you know, and they have to go through it together. And then you go through something together and you can still get out of it together. But then there's this new normal that you have to experience in the end. And so that book was awesome. I'd highly recommend that one to like every single and married Black woman. I think Black women would love the time on this one. But those are my two from our list that we read for the past 2 years.
Winter May?
I'll go with Ties That Tether by Jane Igaro. That was a romance book that we read. It was very lighthearted. It wasn't very well received by everyone, but I liked it. It was a nice book that was an easy, fast read. It wasn't too heavy. It was kind of like reading a soap opera, pretty much.
I don't remember that one. Tell us a little bit more about it. Maybe that was before I came on board. I don't remember that one.
We read it in February this year?
Yes, this year.
I think we read it this year. It's about a Nigerian-Canadian girl who gets pregnant by one of her coworkers. And her family is upset that he isn't the person that they thought that she would get married to.
Okay. So why did you like it?
I usually don't read romance books. It's been a long time since I've actually read one that I actually liked. And I thought this book was really funny. It wasn't heavy on romance like they traditionally are written. It was more more witty than romantic, which I thought it was a nice twist to a contemporary romance book.
You know something? I think to round it out, the second Thursday of the month, we're coming up. If you two wanted to say one reason why you think folks would be interested in joining the club, what would it be? Because we're welcoming new members.
I would say if you've been feeling invisible, we do that. We feel invisible as Black people all the time in different spaces and different areas. And if you're just feeling invisible in a specific section of your life, you know, not necessarily all of you, but sometimes at work, we feel invisible because we're the only person. A friend of mine likes to say, I'm the only dark spot in the room. So, you know, if you're just feeling invisible and you're just like, man, I'm missing something, I would say that this fills me up for the month. One meeting for 2 hours with my girls, a bunch of Black women, about people who just understand your way of talking means a lot.
I definitely agree. This book club is not stuffy. We come in with as our full selves. We talk about a wide range of issues. Sometimes we don't even talk about the book. We talk about the themes of the book and how they relate to our personal lives. And that becomes the session, which is good because sometimes not everyone has read the book, but we all need to relate to each other in some way. So this is a way that we can all use a book as a centerpiece to get to know each other, build community, find friends, and connect, because there aren't a lot of avid book readers. But when you do find the avid book readers that you can connect with, it makes reading books that much more fun and gives you that sense of pride within your friends and people that are moving here that just need someone to talk to or want to see someone else that looks like you. This is a great place to start.
And I would add to that, that this book club reads some non-traditional type books. If you're stuck in a rut that you read a certain kind of book, this book club introduced me to other kinds of readings, books that I would not have chosen to read.
I have to say amen to all of that. But to me, that is the joy of a book club, that it pulls you out of your pattern. That, I mean, I know the kind of books I like, but I have been introduced to books and authors that I wouldn't have known. I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. That, and again, yeah, just spending time with your sisters. The book is a jump off point and it can lead to any kind of conversation. So, you know, if you're out there and you're a book person and you want to share books and you want to talk about your favorite book, definitely Well-Read Black Girls is the place to be. And OB, you need to find well-read Black men. We love you, but
each morning when I wake up, I'm not putting on no makeup, but I do say a little prayer for the Well-Read Black Girls Book Club.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think we have come to the end of this episode. But
thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. I had fun.
Thank you both. Well, this is Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus, saying all is here. Get your hot chocolate, your coffee, your tea, and get ready to read.
See you next month.
This has been Black Book Talk on KBOO. See you later when the wind blows and the leaves fall. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Emma Jackson Ford from Black Book Talk. I am reminding you today that it's that time of year, it's fall, and we're into the fall membership drive. Go to kboo.org and click on the donate button. Thank you.